Next we have Christine, who's going to National Vice President of the Social Working Association.
Can you get past that? So
glad I'm following you. Okay, thanks very much for the invite. As she said, my name's Christine also. I'm the National Vice President of the Australian Association of Social Workers, but I'll refer to us as the AASW. And I'm sorry about the husky voice, but like everyone else in Victoria at the moment, I've had this horrible virus. I've been a social worker for over 25 years, and I've done a lot of work with refugees and asylum seekers. I've worked with people from Iraq, Iran, people from Kurdish people, a lot of young men from Afghanistan, and a lot of families from the Horn of Africa. The AASW is the professional national organisation in Australia for social workers, and we represent around about 10,000 members at the present time, many of whom are highly affected by the Border Force Act and the secrecy provisions within the Border Force Act. Many social workers are involved in the delivery of asylum seeker and refugee services in a range of fields of practice within and outside Australia. Social workers have worked on Christmas Island, Manus Island, Nauru, and within detention centres in Australia. They also did a lot of work with the Foundation for Survivors of Torture, as do so many other social workers. Social workers work with formal resettlement services, as well as a range of health, mental health, child protection and community services that meet the needs of refugees and asylum seekers. Of course, with the AASW, we pride ourselves on our code of ethics and principles of social justice, human rights, collective responsibility and respect for diversity are central to social work in Australia. But these principles are not evident in any of the legislation or policies or procedures to do with the treatment of those seeking asylum in Australia at the present time. As you know, from all of the policies and operational procedures, from the turn back the boats, the Pacific Solution, offshore detention, through to the Border Force Act, all contravene Australia's commitments under the United Nations Convention on the Rights of the Child. We know that this legislation and operational procedures that flow from these are all aimed at hiding the truth from Australian citizens in terms of who asylum seekers are, what their stories are, what they had to do to get here, and how desperate they have been to get here. All information is now censored, twisted, doctored, and very much silenced. The argument around stopping the boats, of course, too, has been hijacked by the simplistic rhetoric that if you argue against stopping the boats, you're accused of wanting to see people drown at sea in the attempt, which is just ludicrous. It's not an either-or. The argument that this somehow stops desperate families from getting on boats and trying to get to Australia or get out from wherever they are is insane. All it means is that we don't know who's drowning at sea and where they're drowning at sea, and no effort or energy is going into the diplomatic and mature conversations and solutions that our government should be having from where these boats are being launched. It's not happening. It's a complex situation that requires mature, transparent understanding and discussion, and it's something we're so far away from at the moment in this country. The government knows none of the legislation is working, which is why the Border Force Act secrecy provisions have been brought in now in July. Not working, not working, not working. Let's just get a little more draconian, draconian, draconian. Yesterday it was reported that Cambodia won't be taking any more other than the four people that it's already taken. You can't blame Cambodia. $55 million in aid. Fantastic. In impoverished and poverty-stricken, struggling nation, they'll take the money. Thank you very much. But what are they going to do with these people? The government didn't want Professor Gillian Triggs talking out about what was going on with the children on Nauru. And The Guardian, I don't know if people saw The Guardian this morning, it had a great report on our Senate inquiry into what was going on. So the report concluded, surprise, surprise, that all children should be removed from the Nauru Detention Centre, that the Australian government does not know what's going on the island, that Wilson Security and Transfield Services are not held accountable for the atrocities that go on there. And in spite of this morning it was announced, the Australian government announced another 5-year renewal on their contract to administer that island and that centre. The Australian government continues to say that it's a matter for the Nauru government, yet by renewing that 5-year contract, it's absolutely bloody obvious it's the Australian government who's responsible for what goes on there. And to say anything else is just cynical and unjustifiable, really. It's just an attempt to avoid accountability. The DIBP has absolute lack of control of the centre. There's an absence of any reporting mechanisms for staff. There are no compulsory working with children checks. No mandatory reporting of child abuse. We know there's been serious misconduct by some staff and some contractors, and we know that the bill for the Australian taxpayer is $37 million a month to get that centre open. So that's $1.333 billion in the 3 years that it's been going, and that came out this morning. We know that more than 300 children have committed or threatened self-harm in a 15-month period under our name in Australian immigration detention. 30 reported sexual assault, 30 went on hunger strikes, and more than 200 have been victims of assaults. As social workers and as human beings, of course, we know without a doubt that the normal development of a child or an adolescent is not possible if they're detained in an institution. It just can't happen. There are too many gaps in resources and opportunities, and there's the negative emotional climate of hopelessness, anxiety, despair that stifles any creativity or any passage of the child through the passage of life that they need to go through normal child development stages. Lifelong effects on health and well-being, we know all this. Social workers have had to work not only to ameliorate the immediate effects of immigration detention, but work with kids and adolescents who continue to suffer emotional, social and psychological effects once they've been released into the community. And we know through information from our members, some of whom have been able to be open about it, some of whom come through the AASW, because we're not beholden for any government funding, so as soon as they give us the information, we can get it out there. The abuse of children, of course, is still rampant on Nauru. One of our members, Victoria, who worked for Save the Children on Nauru, reported the abuse of children to authorities, and she resigned and was pretty much frog-marched off the island. She called for asylum seekers on Nauru to be transferred to Australia, and that call was made as part of an open letter that many of you may have seen, and it was discussed on Late Line in April. In this open letter, Victoria and others working in Nauru talked about how they informed the Australian government and the Department of Immigration and Border Protection about the abuses that have been going on there, the sexual abuse of women and children for some time. This group of workers informed the authorities in writing of several of these assaults. They filled out official incident reports. They participated in meeting with the DIBP authorities where these assaults were actually discussed in the meetings. But the assaults were not mentioned at all in the Moss Review. And, of course, that laid bare that Minister Peter Dutton is just lying when he talks that there's a zero tolerance to sexual abuse in Nauru. Those who wrote the letter wanted to make it clear that the Australian government and DIBC have tolerated the physical and sexual assault of children and the sexual harassment and assault of vulnerable women for over 17 months now. And they documented a series of 30 separate case studies. And Victoria talks about these allegations, which included documentary evidence in the form of emails and incident reports to support the things that she'd been trying to say to the department. She said when they were concerned children were being groomed for sexual abuse and were allegedly being abused, they reported the issues up the chain of command on Nauru. They wrote incident reports, documented harm in case notes and other client documentation, and raised incidents in meetings. She said these were absolutely ignored by Department of Immigration. Save the Children was not allowed to remove children who, in their professional judgment, were very unsafe in this situation. Some of the cases she talked about was a four-year-old girl who began exhibiting behaviour consistent with a child who'd been sexually assaulted, which included sexualised dancing and pulling her pants down to invite adults to have a go at her. Despite child protection workers assessing her to be at high risk of ongoing sexual abuse, the submission said the Immigration Department didn't remove that child from detention. We know child asylum seekers have been beaten at the Nauru school with a wooden ruler. Several child asylum seekers have been subject to corporal punishment at that school, and that still continues. We know a four-year-old asylum seeker was struck by a Wilson security guard on the back of her head in a blow that, quote, lifted her off her feet, according to the Save the Children incident report. The investigations that occurred into child protection matters on the island were conducted by Wilson security staff, who are not professionally qualified or trained to interview victims of assaults or sexual abuse, and they delayed investigations as well. And Victoria told us that an incident report had been filed about a 10-year-old asylum seeker who was dragged forcibly from a school, but Wilson Security only interviewed him a month later, so there was no debriefing, no talking to this child about what was going on and why he was dragged out. She talks about a girl under the age of 11 who was sexually assaulted and started to self-harm, and a 7-year-old boy who was found naked in the middle of a night outside the tent. None of these things were documented in the Moss Review. They were all put forward, all the supporting evidence was put forward, nothing was put in the Moss Review. She said shortly after she resigned, the Immigration Department ordered her off the island along with 9 other Save the Children workers amid allegations that they were facilitating protests and fabricating sexual abuse allegations. She says there was irrefutable evidence that the Immigration Department and the government had been aware of the growing body of allegations since November of 2013 at least, contrary to comments by Peter Dutton. Of course, so in an effort to silence these allegations and build a smokescreen around them, rather than change the conversation nationally and start dealing with what's actually going on there, the government brought in the Border Force Act and the secrecy provisions within that act. So now we have a situation where a government, despite our own ongoing Royal Commission into institutionalised child sexual abuse, and despite having a nation that's shocked at the inaction of professionals for years and years and years into what went on in these institutions, they're asking for the same thing to happen again. The Border Force Act is asking for health professionals to shut up and allow the abuse of children to continue. There's no other way of looking at it. The AASW has put out a call that this is not happening. We deplore this attempt to silence professionals who report crimes against children. So we've united with 11 other peak health organisations in a joint statement that asks for urgent amendments to the Act. We've reiterated our call for the closure of offshore detention centres. And we know that you can't tinker around the edges of this sort of stuff. Nothing will make this a safe place for women or children. We have to have a complete rethink about what's going on. And we've reminded our members that, again, we're not reliant on any government funding, and as such, we can say anything they tell us. We can act as a whistleblower for any of our members who feel that they can't speak out for themselves. And, of course, we also have reminded our members that social workers are professionally, morally and ethically obligated to advocate for the human rights of people with whom they work. We know the legislation is in direct breach of their duty of care, and we know that professionals faced with this dilemma of choosing between reporting serious harm to a child and breaking a law of the land is a hard choice for someone to make. We've counselled our workers to seek advice, particularly from senior people in their caring organisations, not Wilson Security or the others, and we hope that they will ultimately choose protecting the children, even if we know it's going to come at a great personal cost to them. Any legislation that threatens to jail professionals who disclose information about the conditions and treatment of asylum seekers in immigration centre is appalling and has no place in Western democracy. Our government does not show leadership in this area. Good leaders don't abuse human rights, they stand up against abuses of human rights. And good leaders know that compassion and generosity are most important, and they know that this is what they need to instill in their citizens. But what our government does is instill a fear of difference and other. We watch the fallout of this othering everywhere. So we've got groups like the UPS sprouting their racist garbage all over the place because they are afraid of difference and they've been brainwashed into this other of everything. I once read that the measure of a good government and a just society is how we look after our most vulnerable. Of course, I agree wholeheartedly with this, but I think we need to go further. I think the measure of a good government is one that leads its citizens to think and act with compassion and generosity towards our most vulnerable. And our government's failing miserably on this. Spouting the rhetoric of fear and the rhetoric of othering is a rhetoric of hate. There's no other way to put it. So the AASW advocates that its members speak up, that they use us to speak up, that they agitate and they hold the government accountable. And we advocate that they defy the Border Force Act.